Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, and welcome to Stop Hammer Time. And it's a slightly flushed with a giddy joy Stop Hammer Time because myself and today's guest, Mark Sandell.
Good evening.
Hello, Mark. I've just had a podcast with Julian Dix, and we enjoyed ourselves very much. Had a very enjoyable half hour or so chat with Julian Dix, who's got a book out, appropriately called Hammer Time. And I've read a
book. In fact, he named it after the podcast. He did say he was on it
9 years ago. So that's got to have stuck with his he can't possibly have come up with that name himself, surely. He must have been.
Oh, would you put those two? Yeah.
It's like that Ed Sheeran plagiarism trial where apparently he nicked Marvin Gaye's song for his own song. Maybe we should take Julian Dix to court. I don't know.
Well, we've done you've done the interview now, so you know that's safely. You can't take that away. So yeah, I think it's about time to to consult my learned friends.
yeah, absolutely. So we are just bringing the season to a close. We'll probably squeeze one of these in after the Conference League final, but this is our end of season podcast. We're just going to chat through what's happened so far. Mark, we're both going to Prague.
Oh, I mean, I'm ridiculously. I only found out I got my ticket yesterday. I think you found yours a while ago, didn't you? You got yours a while ago.
It still hasn't been transferred to me, which I'm a little bit worried about because I've.
Yeah, same here. But, you know, I've got everything else in place, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be fabulous. I mean, was it, do I reckon, 20,000? We're going to be alongside 19,000 other West Ham fans. It's going to be just amazing. I mean, I was 15 the last time we were in a European final, and the very idea. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was probably something in my head that thought this might happen again in 5 or 10 years, you know. We've waited 47.
Yes, ridiculous. Ridiculous. I went, Jim and I also went to the Leeds game, the Leicester game at the weekend, which was a very, very strange game because we sort of lost it. It was very much from the template of a lot of games we played this season where we sort of played well, really, and could have won it and should have won it, but we didn't. I don't know if the players were sort of protecting themselves a bit. Jim said he sort of thought that there might have been a bit of don't want to tweak or break anything before Prague.
It was sort of third gear performance, wasn't it, really?
It was, wasn't it? Because it, you know, obviously they scored another. But in the second half, we had several chances to equalise and beat them. But it was a very strange response from the fans. The fans were just happy all day. There were lots of... there was the you're going down song, but also the we're going Prague song.
Kesara as well, isn't there?
Yeah. Say hello to Millwall. Say Hello to Millwall was one. And there was a very good, they've got that sort of anthem when got goals going, and the West fan were just singing back to them all game and waving our hands in the air. And it was fantastic. Like a couple of times there was quite a bad miss from Ings and quite a bad miss from Full Miles. The miss happened. There was a brief silence, and then they just started singing that song again. It was like the West Ham fans essentially were going, we're in this final, we've got 40 points. What happens here absolutely doesn't matter at all. We don't really care what the result is. We've just come here to stand in the sun and sort of sing daft songs and sort of take the piss out of the other team who are being relegated.
Stuck on 34 points for what seemed like about 6 months. And everyone said, we might be safe with 34, but it would be nice. You know, if someone had said then, when it seemed to be dragging on forever, listen, the last game won't matter. It just, you know, you'll be 100%. Again, we'd have taken that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Jamie Vardy, your wife is a grass. beautiful, touching song. But it was it was almost like we just couldn't be bothered to draw a level or win that game.
By that spirit then, I wasn't there, I watched it on the telly, but I know that it's a sort of a, you know, it was obviously our last competitive game before the final, which we may have mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Should we be bothered in the spirit of the game that they were two pretty soft goals we gave away, weren't they? I mean, they were defensive lapses. Should we be bothered about that or just go, okay, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I mean, he's going to probably have his kind of full selection of sort of centre-backs available. So it'd be interesting to see what he goes with, because actually they've sort of all acquitted themselves fairly well. Ogbonna, you wondered whether he would really be the man he once was, given both age and a crippling injury. But he's looked good, as you know. I mean, I think anybody with a turn of speed is going to give him sort of a hard time. And I mean, I suspect it will be Zuma and Aguerd. You know, that would seem to be the kind of where it's going. He's got a sort of, there is a conundrum at left back, but I don't think there is in Moyes' mind. I think he will play Cresswell. So I think we sort of know what the team's going to be. Well, probably the one, you know, someone who had a fantastic game and who also had a fantastic game against Leeds was Pablo Fornals.
Yeah.
And I think he is, you know, when we play for Fiorentina, our problem scoring goals from open play is something that's got to be in Moyes' mind. You know, we can't sort of try and neutralise them for 90 minutes. You know, and no. Focus on not conceding.
Do you see it then as the final kind of piece? Is the decision is whether it is Fornals or Benrahma? Would you say that's the kind of, because pretty much everything else is nailed on, isn't it? I mean, yes, everyone else is. You know, yeah. I mean, because you know Benrahma is so frustrating. You know, still frustrates, and you can see this, and you think sometimes if he could cross. As well as he shoots, in other words, you know, sort of, you know, medium pace and find the man, because he always seems to find the goalkeeper's midriff, you know, from a shot. But from across, he can't seem to beat the first man. And yet he's blessed with so much skill. And he can do so much. But he does, on the other hand, is he, Benrahma is that box of tricks, if you sort of mean, in a way that maybe Fornals is not.
And I feel like, you know, they can share the game essentially. And that's been sort of the case. Seeing Fornals at his best makes you think, I'm sure there were games in the first half of the season that he should have played in that game, because, you know, he scored goals for a start, you know, the goal against Alkmaar, the assist for Leeds, the goal against Leicester,
Gorgeous goal against Alkmaar as well. Love that goal.
Yeah.
I think if you look at that way, we're watching this game, and I think we may have mentioned that we're both going to be in Prague. When that game is, if you're 20 minutes to go and it's I don't know, 0-0, and we see Benrahma come on, that is probably going to fire us up more than 20 minutes to go. Benrahma's coming off and Fornals is coming on.
Yes.
You know, you
yes.
feel Fornals coming on and we're 1-0 up, that, you know, I'd be very happy with that. But I think yeah. if we're looking for something, we need to create something, I'd probably want Benrahma on. And I definitely want Benrahma to take a penalty if it got to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, Fornals has just got a kind of, he has a forward-minded kind of mindset, doesn't he? He is, you know, that dinked ball over the top to Bowen for the first goal against Leeds. You know, Benrahma's capable of doing that, but I think Fornals does it. And he will also, he'll find a pass that releases someone to head off towards the other team's goal. You know, I just think he's got, he is a much more complete footballer than Benrahma, you know.
And defensively, he's on a different league.
Yeah,
you know, that's what right. I mean, although Benrahma, let's be fair to him, because I always feel like every time I talk to you, this, I'm always having a bit of a go at Benrahma. Yeah. But I do. And he is massively improved as a defender now. He at least appears in the same half, you know, when they're attacking. But to be fair, he has put a lot into that work right now. But Fornals, again, if we're trying to defend a game, I would much rather have Fornals there than Benrahma. So
Definitely.
But you're right. Perhaps that will be it. They'll share the game. It's just a question of who will start and who will come on.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to try and prize open a notoriously tight Italian defence, then I suspect that Benrahma may get the nod to start.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, certainly Moyes has, you know, rather sort of strangely and a little disingenuously sort of said, you know, well, Pablo's playing really well. I mean, he's doing things that he could force his way into the team. It's like, well, you've kept him out of the team. It's like,
you know, so who do you think makes that call, David? Yeah,
exactly. You know, and also his goal was from open play. It's funny, this problem scoring from open play seems to disappear, and then we score four. You know, the Nottingham Forest and three against Leeds and the four against Bournemouth away. I mean, the Palace were all set pieces, and I think a couple of the Bournemouth were set pieces as well. But, you know, certainly something we need to address next season is the fact that we can't. You know, can't score a goal from open play. That will bite us in the arse exactly the same way, because the rules of football won't have changed between this season and that season. You've got to score goals to win.
Right. I mean, our chances creation stats are really good for the whole season.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to our expected goals and the amount of goals we actually score, I think our deficit is something like the 19th or 20th worst in the Premier League.
Yes.
And I think that tells us something. We won three away games all season. The season before, I think we won seven.
Yeah.
You know, and we had a few, you know, we conceded, that's the, at the other end, we conceded what, six goals. Palace and Brighton both got six goals against us this season. Brentford got four against us. Now, you know, all tidy. Brighton and Brentford have had a fantastic season. I know they're good sides and everything. But if we're not then converting the goals at the other end, then those games become, the 4-3 against Palace is probably a good example, isn't it, towards the end of the season there. And that appears to be, I read one end of season review that said that had we not been able to hold on to a lead as well as we have done, we probably would have gone down. We took the lead on 17 games and we held on in 11 of them.
Yeah.
You know, a few of those go wrong. And again, you know, it is quite a fine margin. The team, the third from bottom team went down with what? 35, I think it was. Leicester, was it 35?
I think it was.
Yeah. So in the end, over a 38-game season, we finished 5 points above the relegation zone. You know, it's quite a close call.
It is a close call. There might be a sort of conclusion that's drawn from that sort of lack of converting the sort of expected goals that, you know, it's just a better finisher. But it's to do with final ball, you know, the final ball of the move, which is quite often a cross that doesn't meet its intended target, say hello to, say, Benrahma. Or it is sometimes skying it, you know, it's just skying it, say hello to, say, Benrahma.
And say hello occasionally to Danny Ings.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Mikhail Antonio. I mean, I sort of said, for a while on this podcast, I just think in the top flight, if your front three is Bowen, Antonio and Benrahma, one of those players has got to be upgraded. It's got to be much better. The one that is least likely to be that one for me is Bowen. I think Bowen is a handful. I think he likes to cause a defender problems. You know, I think he's got some guile, which Benrahma lacks. Benrahma does a lot of stepovers whilst facing a kind of right back or a right-sided central midfielder. But actually, I'm not sure he knows what he's going to do after he's finished doing those stepovers. He does some stepovers, I think, in the hope that while he's doing them, the player will evaporate and just not be there anymore.
Or get bored.
Yeah, or get bored. Yeah. I could go home. make that kind of I want to be substituted gesture. I'm so bored with these stepovers.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Was runner-up in Hammer of the Year. I mean, always say that Benrahma divides opinion. Well, clearly the vast majority of West Ham's opinions, they really love him. And we're not suggesting we don't love him, if you saw what I mean. But he is tear your hair out time, and he's an exciting player. And when you think that Jarrod Bowen, by that massive explosive season that he had last year, hasn't quite got us off the seat as much this season, and that's hard on him because he's still been superb, and again always puts in a massive shift. He gets kicked all over the shop at the end of that Tottenham game, and he gets so much kind of stick. And really turn it in. So in a way, there is that kind of premium against that tingle factor player, isn't it? And that's what we do have with Benrahma,
Absolutely. I think those, ideally both of those players could do with being sort of upgraded. It's just, I don't think it's really quite a Premiership standard front three that has caused us problems. I think that sort of interplay between your front players, especially in a kind of system that, is now not so much in favour of kind of forwards. You know, this whole notion of, Moyes, why does he only ever play one up top? Why is he only, he should play, Ings and Antonio. Well, the idea is that there's actually a front three, not a front two. That's the modern game we're playing. Arsenal, it's Gabriel Jesus and Martinelli and Saka. They're up. That's the idea. They're not going, Gabriel Jesus is the only one that's going to put the ball in the net. It's not Erling Haaland is the only one that's going to put the ball in the net. Though, in fact, obviously, that is a much more old-fashioned style that Manchester City have now evolved. Having not had that style for several years, they now do have a big target man, though they very rarely play the ball to his head. So, I mean, I think that notion that somehow, Moyes plays incredibly negatively is wrong. As you said earlier, our kind of shots and the stats surrounding our attacking play are pretty much the same as other clubs. It's the fact we just don't convert any of the things that happen in the last couple of moments. We're not sort of necessarily playing a negative type of football deliberately. We're playing a type of football in which we don't have the talent to put the ball in the net. That's what's happening. It's not the tactics. So that does sort of have to change.
Your upgrade point is absolutely right. I think if we're looking over the whole season, if there is an area where we definitely have upgraded, it's in the middle of the park. And I think if we're looking for, you know, success stories towards certainly the latter half of the season, you've got to say Lucas Paqueta has been absolutely, I mean, a joy to watch. And we talk about, I just mentioned that tingle factor thing. Well, we've got that with him.
Yes,
you know, and you feel now that whatever else happens, whoever we lose over the summer and everything, if we're starting in August with Lucas Paqueta in there, it's, you know, there's something going for us.
Definitely, he, I mean, obviously his work for the goal from Lanzini in the Leeds game was replayed and replayed and replayed.
Gorgeous.
He did something really early on in the Leicester game that wasn't in any of the kind of highlights reels, and I didn't see it again. But both Jim and I saw it happen, but then were unable to describe it. Once we'd seen it, it didn't sort of manage to sear itself on our kind of, you know, retinas. And what it was, you know, a way of coming up the ball whilst avoiding a tackle that he did something sort of impossible with his feet and carried on playing. I mean, it was sort of in the middle of the park, so it didn't have any, you know, there was no impact either before it happened or after it happened, but it was sort of, what did he do just then? I'm not quite sure, but he's off running with the football, you know.
And completely comfortable in his environment now. You know, they can kick him, they can jostle him, they can put two men on him. He doesn't care. And I love
That's right. Yeah. He really backs himself, doesn't he? And, you know, that sort of extends to some of those sort of surreally misplaced passes he still makes. It's like, you know, that's what you're going to get. It's like he's, you know, because he tries things.
But what, exactly. And also because he wants the ball. So he's, you know, he's going to get the ball that many more times. Yeah, fair enough. And it's easy to shrug that off now. If he does a back pass on, you know, Wednesday, mm-hmm. then we might review this.
Yes, absolutely. So as we've said a couple of times on this podcast, I mean, in a way, it sort of feels like we actually already have the Rice replacement. What we now need is a player to play in the middle of the park whose style is going to segue nicely with Paqueta's style, you know. We talked a little bit about that. I like that Onana guy at Everton. It's a shame they didn't go down. That was sort of a shame about the result of the weekend at Leicester, was that I would absolutely have taken that loss had it meant that both Leeds and Everton went down, because I don't really hate Everton, but I just think it's their turn. And if we have to do it, which we've done a couple of times since the advent of the Premier League, they should do it too.
Onana turned us down, didn't he? We tried to get him. But I agree with you. He's the kind of player. Reminds me very much of sort of Coyote, that kind of
You
know, driving midfielder. You know,
good engine, really gets about. You know, athletic. So, what are our thoughts about next Wednesday? The game we're going to. I'm going to get
going as well. Are you going as well, Phil? Because I'm going to be there.
Yeah, great.
Well, I'll see you there.
Check money, because I'm going to spend it out there while I'm there. We get in about 11:30 in the morning, so I suppose drift into town, do 10 minutes of tourism, then find that fan zone that loads of people we know are going to be at.
Maybe see if there's a game on, you know, and then pop along to it. See how we get on. It's hard to know, isn't it? Because Fiorentina lost the Coppa Italia. That will tell us two things. They got to two cup finals this season, so they're a good cup side. So far, based on one cup final, I'm hoping that this means they choke in finals, because I think they took the lead in the final as well. They finished eighth, ninth, I think, something like that, in Serie A. A good, you know, reasonably strong Serie A, given that Juventus were, removed points and then handed them back and all of that. So, you know, we finished 14th in a stronger, you know, Premier League. You'd argue that they're pretty well matched.
Yeah.
You know, they don't seem to conform. They do try and play football. They're a possession-based side. They're not the, mm-hmm. you know, they're certainly not that disgrace that was that Roma team earlier, you know, this week. Now, that's going to make it interesting. We quite like playing on a counter-attack, you know, so, that will, and I suppose there is, I'm hoping there'll be stuff burning in us from last year's semi-final. There's enough players out there who know how hurtful that was. There are all sorts of other dramas playing here. You know, good night, Declan. Good night, David Moyes. You know, there's so, and the fact that we're in Prague and we've got Suchek and Kufa. You know, there are so many beautiful little dramas that are going to be playing out there.
Yeah.
But they're only going to be beautiful if we win. And I think we will. I think we will.
Yeah. Dix, as we established in the podcast, which will go up probably about the same time as this, so do give it a listen. Dix thinks we'll be too strong for them. Thinks we're too strong for them. Thinks we, you know, there are some better players in various positions on the pitch. That, you know, our one is better. I've got a horrible feeling going to penalties and losing a penalty shootout.
1 o'clock in the morning in Prague, trailing out. I know. I mean, let's be fair.
Our flight back is 6 o'clock in the morning. So given that kickoff's at nine, you know, if it does go to sort of, you know, extra time and pens, and then, you know, whichever club is let out, you know, obviously West Ham fans, if we lost, would come out the stadium earlier. If we won after extra time and pens, we'll just get out in time to go to the airport. Our flight is at six, me and Jim's, so, you know, there's no point going to a hotel and trying to get some kit, because we've probably got to be at the airport at three. So
one thing's definitely not going to happen, because this will be so un-West Ham, would be if we took control of the game early on, scored a couple of goals, and then we were able to enjoy doing all the singing and loving it and jumping up and down and all of that kind of thing. That's guaranteed not to happen. We will make hard work of it.
Yeah. But you're right. There are so many stories. Obviously, I think kind of primary in many ways is Rice's last game, which it almost certainly is. And, you know, for the story to be written of that last game involving captaining us to a European trophy, you know, would be perfection. You know, chef's kiss. But you know, but like you say, also, you know, two linchpin West Ham players are from Prague, and there will be a huge number of neutrals in the stadium, and there will be a lot of Czechs there, and you know, it's going to feel like a coming home for those two. They're going to know the surface.
And I suppose the way we've got to look at it, and it's easy to say this, but right at the beginning of the season, you know, we'll make the final of the Europa Conference with a chance of getting European football for the third successive year, which would be amazing.
It will be amazing.
Okay, it took us till two games before the end of the season, but we did survive okay. And it won't matter if we come 14th, as long as we're in Europe again next year. So, you know, we're in a far better position than we thought we would be.
Yes, we are. We are, absolutely. I think I might have to break the precedent and not make predictions, because I'm terrified of jinxing it. Terrified of jinxing it. But I'm very excited to go to the game. Shall we make predictions? What do you think?
I don't know. You see, by breaking tradition, does that not jinx it?
Yes. No, that's true. Fiorentina 1, West Ham 2.
Great shout. Fiorentina 0, West Ham 1, Mikel Antonio.
Nice. Nice. Well, I've only got Muggles Zoom, so this Zoom meeting is over in a minute and 38 seconds. So I'd better wrap it up. This has been Stop Hammer Time. We've got a couple more. We'll definitely do one after the game. And also the Julian Dix one is going up as well. But it's goodbye from me, Phil Whelans. And with me has been Mark Sandell.
Goodbye. See you in Prague.
Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.